Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, hours with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, whate'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp Thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. For by His hand He leadeth me.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate all who tune in. Thank you for the attention that you give to the broadcast. Thank you for your prayers. I know I need the help of the Lord in everything that we do, and that's especially true when it comes to trying to stand and deliver a message from the Word of God. I hope that you'll be in prayer for such a work as this, knowing that, and just as we said, that we know we need the Lord's help, and also knowing that when it comes to this type of work, what you need is a sincere and true message, a message which that comes from the Word of God, and one which that addresses those things which certainly have the highest need of being addressed, and those thoughts must come from the Word of God, and who knows what those are better than God Himself. I'm so thankful that God has not left us abandoned here in the world all alone, and just with some words and some things that we might consider and then supposed to work things out on our own. I'm glad He didn't leave us in that condition, but rather He interacts with us all the time. I think about what the Apostle Paul brought to everyone's attention over on Mars Hill. When there on Mars Hill, he was called upon to expound the things which that he is teaching as he taught Jesus and the resurrection. One of the things that Paul pointed out about God, he says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." He also pointed out that we should seek Him, if happily we might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. And these thoughts agree with what's found over in the prophets, where that God lets us know that He is not a God who is afar off, but He is God who is at hand. So I'm thankful that God being at hand, is able to and willing to let us know indeed what it is he would have for us to understand. And I'm thankful for that, because I believe in the very nature of God. I believe in his integrity, his virtues, and his desire that we should indeed understand what the truth is. So just pray for the work that we would be such as would understand what that is, that God help us understand, and we might touch on these things, touch on them in such a way that they would truly be easily understood and received, that in receiving and understanding them, we'd all draw closer unto God to be that he'd have for us to be. There is a website that is associated with this work. That website, if you would like to go to it at some point, consider the information that's there. You could do so without any cost at all. The material's free. Feel free to share that as you would like. But all the information is found on a website titled FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. It's FisherOfMenBaptistic, that's Baptist with the IC on the end, Baptistic.com. And again, just feel free to look at that information, study it, share it. There are videos there for Bible studies. There are records of sermons found there. All of those that you find, again, that's associated with this work, you'll notice that there's a series associated with the topic that's being covered at this time, and that topic is the topic of the kingdom. This would be the 10th part in that series. If you'd like to consider that material that comes before this part, you feel free to do so, and you're more than welcome to do so, and are encouraged and invited to do so at that site. We do need to go to the Lord in prayer, and then after prayer, we'll try to take up the thought that's on our heart. If it's where you can, then I'd like to join with us. Let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings that you extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us our sins. Forgive us where we come short in service unto thee. And help us that as we come along life's journey, we'd be found walking in the good and right path. Yea, Lord, that path wherein that thou leadest. And we know, Lord, without your guidance and direction, we cannot find it. Thankful, Lord, for soul salvation, the salvation that comes through repentance toward thee, our God, and faith toward thy Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful for the no-soul condition in soul salvation, that we can rest assured as we lie down upon our beds at night, and then as we arise to the many trials and the many things that could face calamities along the day. We're thankful for the assurance of soul salvation. We pray, God, for all who are lost and know not this that we talk about. Pray, God, that there'd be something said or done, even in this simple broadcast, that it would reach to their very hearts and open their attention to soul's condition and see the offering of thee, our God, in Christ Jesus upon the very cross of Calvary. The Lord, that there would be a turning to thee to find the great gift of God. We pray, Father, for those who have been saved. Pray, Lord, for deliverance from the things which can ensnare and entangle. Pray, God, that in being delivered, there would be a recognition of the call of God to unite to the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Pray, God, for the churches, that you would awaken them out of complacency. Help us as church members, that, Father, in going day by day, that we would take our steps in the path that's directed of God. Pray for those who you separated unto the gospel ministry. Pray, God, you'd help these brethren to be prepared to speak the things that become sound doctrine. Protect from those things that would hinder and deliver in such a way that there could be no entanglement for such a deliverance that's been granted. Pray, God, that you'd bless our country. Help us, Lord, to have leaders which that would truly do the things that you'd have them do. And help us, Lord, that in having such leadership that we'd know how to support them as we ought. We pray that you'd forgive us again our many sins and our many shortcomings. Father, we pray that you'd grant wisdom and understanding, and help us, Lord, to be of the nature that truly would be that you'd be pleased with. We know we fail to ask many things, but fail not to grant. For we seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name. For his name's sake, we do pray. Amen. We said earlier that we've been taking up or trying to address the thoughts relating to the subject of the kingdom, and we'd like to continue to address that thought. And in this part of the of the teachings, the lessons on the kingdom, we find ourselves over in Matthew chapter 13. And we like to read out of Matthew 13, back up. Oh, we'll start in verse 44. And here we find the Lord giving us a series of very pointed thoughts regarding the kingdom. And I notice in talking about and addressing the subject of the kingdom that the Lord is telling us about how that the kingdom is to be valued, or how we must have such a desire, the type of desire, how much we are to desire, should desire the kingdom, that we might find it indeed. So in looking at these verses, we begin with verse 44, Matthew 13. And here we find it written, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it." With mistakes you may have made, this is our reading lesson. We read four verses of Scripture, or actually three verses of Scripture, out of the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Here I notice that, again, as we started out, that the Lord is telling us about how we should value the kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And when we're looking at the kingdom, he tells us that in being such as find the kingdom, we must be such as we put it in such a condition as he describes here. First off, he says the kingdom is like a treasure which is hid in a field. You think about treasure hid in a field. You know, living in this part of the world, it's something that we consider at times here in this part of Alaska. Many who know me realize that this part of the world is known for having gold that was found and different type of precious items which has been found in the ground, and history is marked by those who, when they heard about this thing called gold and other minerals which are very precious and of great value, that people thought so much of it, of the areas found around this part of the country, that they sold everything that they had and just pulled up their roots, packed up what they had, and went and committed themselves fully to this treasure, because it's just that. They valued it to such a degree, they thought so much of it, that they laid everything else aside. They would not be hindered by anything else because of the great price, the great value that they placed on this that they sought. Now, the Lord tells us that that's the kind of desire, that's the kind of interest that we should have in the kingdom if we expect to find it. Because he says the kingdom of heaven is like this thing. First off, he says it is like treasure hid in a field. And then he also points out, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So think about that precious pearl, the pearl of great price that is of so much value that an individual would sell everything else. And think about when that you sell everything in the biblical context of selling everything, it means that you place no higher value on anything but this one item, whatever it is that a person treasures, whatever it is that you love the most, that you desire the most, that you have placed above everything else. That is what you value most. And until other things are viewed with a less desire, you are still holding on to it. You have not laid it aside. You've not sold it. To sell something, in the biblical sense, doesn't necessarily mean that you put a price tag on it and sold it or took it and give it away, but you have dismissed it from your heart. You do not treasure it. You do not love it. You do not have it down within you as something that you hold dear in your heart. The Lord says that the kingdom, those who find the kingdom, look at the kingdom of God, that is the kingdom, which, as those of you who've been following along and considering the different parts of this series, you realize that the kingdom, as the Bible teaches, is already set up. It's present. We're not looking for the kingdom out in the future sometime. It's here now. It's to be found now. The Lord said of the kingdom that he would not leave it into the hands of others. It's his. He is the administrator of the kingdom. He is the chief executive of the kingdom. We go to him looking for that which is his, namely the kingdom. And the reason he's going to allow us to find it and help us to find it is because we treasure it, just like this one who had found this pearl of great price, sold everything else and went and bought this, or like found a field that had treasure in it, and because there's treasure in it, sold everything else and went and purchased that. So with us, when we hear of the kingdom and we are interested in it, like this one interested in the pearl and this one interested in the field, so much, want it so much, desire it, and treasure it above everything else, come into the Lord in that way. He'll help us find it. He is the one who that we need to be following. And if we just fall in line with a man or with a group of men, group of people, because they're family, because they're somebody that we're interested in, and they do things that we like, if that's the reason that we go to what we call a church or go to a religious organization, well, yeah, there's a vast difference between that sort of worship and that being your directing and guiding desire, because you like what they do and they do what you like. If that is your guiding and leading desire, you have yet to look at the kingdom, which is the Lord's, and desiring it of him in such a way as this one desires this pearl of great price and this other one desires this field of treasure. And see, this is a relationship that you've got to come to with the Lord. The Lord said he is the shepherd of his sheep, and his sheep won't hear another's voice, but they'll run or flee from that other one. But they'll hear the voice of the shepherd. They know the shepherd knows them, and he leads them. That is, the shepherd leads them and guides them, even through the danger of wolves that come along. Just so it is, when that we desire that kingdom that the Lord is the administrator of, he is the executive of, he will guide us into it. And we shouldn't accept leadership from another. We should desire leadership that comes from God, lest we let ourselves be led astray and just caught up in some type of a passing fad. If you've ever spent much time around people, you realize that people can change pretty quick. Seem like it doesn't take much, and people change their minds or go off after something else. Something happens and they get upset, or something happens that's more interesting and they take off after that. But God promises us, he says, I am God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So we realize God don't change. And so when we come to him where he's the administrator of the kingdom, you can trust you're dealing with the consistent one, with the steady, consistent hand of the Almighty God. Another verse of scripture which that helps us think about the kingdom is when we get over into the sixth chapter of the verse or the book of Matthew. And in the sixth chapter of the book of Matthew, the Lord lets us know, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. When we read Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. The Lord says, speaking of mammon here, is that treasure that comes from God is not to be compared with the treasure that you can get in this world. Now, you might be able to make a lot of money. You might be able to gather a lot of goods. Might be able to own a lot of land, however high that you might come of it. But know this, if you treasure that and hold that above what God has to offer, God's not going to share. He's not going to take second place. God really does, in his kingdom, have the very best place of all. He has the very best legal system. He has the very best leadership. Has the very best the citizens who that make it up. He really does have all of that in his kingdom. And he's not going to let it be second or let it be esteemed anything other than the very best. So if you think that holding on to treasure and riches and things in this world is just too important that you can't lay those things aside and see and honor and esteem the kingdom of God in the place that it truly belongs, God won't help us find it. He's not going to lead us, because when we take it as kind of a consolation prize, well, we can't really find the other things in the world that we want, so we'll just go ahead and try to go along with God. No, God ain't going to accept that. He will not let his that is absolutely perfect and right be valued of a lesser price. So you cannot serve God and mammon. I think about over in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we read along and find a description of a rich young ruler. I said Mark chapter 6. Just got through reading Matthew chapter 6, so I still had that chapter 6 in my mind. It's Mark chapter 10. And Mark chapter 10, we read about a rich young ruler. And as we're reading about this young ruler, he was one who that he had his things in this life. And even though he was trying to be religious and hold on to the things in this life and hold them close to his heart, this example, as we were praying and studying on this, it really fits right here. Because what it helps us see is this young man was wanting to be religious. Now, there may be a lot listening to this, even at this moment, who really do want to be religious but have never stopped and considered where that the things you hold truly dear to you, the things that truly are worth the most to you, that they're the ones, those are the things that have the great value to you. Now, this rich young ruler, he was wanting to be religious, and he thought by his own conduct, he thought by the way he was conducting his life, that he was really what God was wanting him to be. He didn't realize how he had let and allowed the material things of his life get so close in his heart and hold them dear. And the Lord, he points this out. And it fits right in with you can't serve God and mammon. You can't love both, hold both of them equally in your heart. One is going to be higher than the other. God's not going to say, well, that other thing that's of the world that really that God made in the first place, that it's of as much value as God and the things which are of God's kingdom. He can't permit that to be. It would be a lie, and God can't lie. We look here at Mark and in chapter 9, and we find that when the Lord was gone in the way, that there was a young man came running to him and said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I notice that the Lord ends up, after calling his attention to the nature of what really good is, he said, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." The Lord cited the law to this young man. After citing the law, this young man said, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And notice the love of Jesus Christ. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." You know, lots of times we look over that to be a servant of the Lord, we must follow him. Come, take up the cross and follow him. Take up the old cross of self-denial. Surrender our will to his will. Understand what God taught us through the prophet Isaiah. "My thoughts are not as your thoughts, and my ways are not as your ways. For my thoughts are as high above or higher than the heavens, and my ways are high as the sky." I'm going to turn over and read that because it's on our heart. It's in Isaiah chapter 55. And the Lord said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So when the Lord says, "Come, take up the cross and follow me," he's saying, lay your ways and your thoughts aside. Deny those things which that just seem to come so natural to us, and be willing, be honestly willing to do things God's way. But I noticed the first thing that the Lord said was to sell what you have, give it to the poor. That is, place those things, get them out of the way, totally dismiss those. Be so willing that if the things around you were all taken away, but you still were able to possess the kingdom, be a citizen of it, and follow the Lord and serve Him in it, that you'd be perfectly all right. You prefer that anyway above the other. And if that's what it meant, to be able to be a part of it, well, if the desire is such as it conforms to that, well then, it's as the pearl of great price. It is as the treasure hid in a field, that when you find it, and you know of it there, everything else has to be laid aside so that you can go forth and possess that. Such must we treasure the kingdom to be able to possess it indeed. I think again about a few verses over in Mark and in chapter 6, and as our time swiftly runs away from us, we notice that the Lord says this after speaking of clothes. That is how we're tired. After speaking of how that we cannot grow, make ourselves of any higher stature, the Lord says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I notice when it comes down to what should be first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that is the righteousness of God. Seek ye these things first. And that's where that the kingdom of God must be placed, if we're to find it. That is, it must be placed first. And I notice that He says, seek it. And we have to seek it. We have to be looking for it. That one who found that pearl of great price, he's looking for it. That one who found that treasure in the field, he's looking for it. Every man, woman, boy, girl who has found the kingdom, well, they've had to do some seeking. And that is, had to come to the Lord. God says, if we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw near to us. He'll be like that father whose son was gone off out in the world, but when that son realized where he's at and came home, seeking home, his father saw him afar off and met him, came to him. Draw near to God, and God says He'll draw near to us. I think about the great kingdom of God, in the way that the Lord describes it to us, it's got to be valued above everything else. And I just think that He means to help us find it if we can get our heart right and come to Him in this way that He describes. Hope something's been helpful. If so, you be careful to thank the Lord for that. You know for certain that He's the one we look to, and ask you to help us to beseech Him and pray to Him and ask Him to help us. So if something good has been received, be sure that you thank the Lord for that. Appreciate you tuning in. Be careful to pray for us. We'll pray for you as well. Again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, praying God would richly bless you and yours.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.